Welcome to the 16th episode of Kristen's Corner, a podcast by me, State Senator Kristen Phillips Hill, and our show covers local and statewide issues of interest to the residents of the 28th Senatorial District in York County. And today I am pleased to be joined by State Senator Ryan Aument, who serves as the senator for the 36th District in neighboring Lancaster County. Senator Aument, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Kristen. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, Senator Aument, can you give our listeners a little bit of background about how you got to the Senate and the committees that you serve on?
Sure. So I was elected to the Senate for the first time in 2014. I'm currently serving in my second term, and that follows 4 years of service, two terms in the House of Representatives, which was a privilege to serve the residents in the western suburbs of Lancaster County in the 41st House District. Serving, as I've mentioned, in my second term in the state Senate, I was privileged last session, again this session, to be elected as a member of Republican leadership as our Senate Republican Caucus Secretary. And I serve on a number of committees. Actually, that list grew, sadly, due to the loss of our colleague, Senator Dave Arnold. I've been appointed to his seat on the Appropriations Committee. But I also serve on Rules, Consumer Protection, Professional Licensure, Energy, Environmental Resources, Education, your Communications and Technology Committee, as well as the Local Government Committee.
Well, that's certainly a lot of ground to cover here in the Senate. And I think it's important to note, Senator Aument, that you're also the Senate Republicans member on the bicameral and bipartisan COVID-19 vaccine task force. So can you give our listeners a little bit of background about the task force, who's on it, and what decisions you make and recommendations that you come up with?
Yes, so I was asked by the President Pro Tempore of the Senate, Senator Jay Corman, early February, if I would serve as the Senate Republican Caucus representative on the governor's new COVID-19 vaccine task force. The governor, as I recall, had announced on February the 9th that he was going to be forming a task force to assist with the vaccine rollout. And I have to tell you, at the time, Pennsylvania was failing miserably with respect to the vaccine rollout. We were ranked 49 of the 50 states in terms of getting the first dose of vaccine into arms of Pennsylvanians. And I wasn't sure what to expect. When I was asked by Senator Corman, or certainly by the governor, to serve on the task force. Quite frankly, I was concerned that it would be about the political theatrics of bipartisan cooperation. Many of us, yourself included, certainly over the last year have been calling for this type of bipartisan collaboration between the governor and the members of the General Assembly with respect to our COVID response. The governor's had very little interest in that. So I wasn't sure what to expect. But I've been pleased and pleasantly surprised that the governor has used the task force as a platform to receive feedback. I've had the opportunity to take feedback directly from members of our caucus, directly from providers all across Pennsylvania, feedback directly from Pennsylvanians who've experienced, who've had an interest in receiving vaccine or experienced the vaccine rollout. The governor's used the vaccine task force as a decision-making body at various points. So the membership, there is one member of the task force from each caucus. So the Senate Democrat member is Senator Art Haywood from Philadelphia. I'm the Senate Republican member. Representative Kazurowski from the northeastern part of Pennsylvania is the House Democrat member, and Tim O'Neill, who is a House Republican from western Pennsylvania. We comprise the four legislative members. The governor chairs, facilitates the task force conversations personally. The PEMA director, as well as the acting Secretary of Health, Allison Beam, serves as members of the task force. We typically meet twice, sometimes three times a week, an hour each time. And we review the dashboard, review the data, and then make any of the decisions that are required during those sessions.
Well, thank you for serving as the Senate Republican member. I know that's a lot of work. But one thing I think you and I and many of our constituents have been frustrated with is the lack of coordination and collaboration with the governor. Our offices have been inundated since last March with questions, starting first with the business waiver process, to unemployment compensation, to the red, yellow, and green phases of reopening, you name it. We have been hammered with questions on decisions that you or I have not made, but the decisions of one person, and that's the governor. Now, what I find interesting is that this May, on May 18th, in the primary election, voters will have the chance to weigh in on whether or not a governor should continue to have the broad unilateral powers that this governor has used over the last year by way of a constitutional amendment that we approved. So, you know, do you think he should be able to say which businesses can open or be closed, or who can get a business waiver or who doesn't? And that's going to be up to the people of Pennsylvania on May 18th. But here's the interesting part. And you kind of touched on this earlier. We passed a proposed constitutional amendment, which for all of our listeners does not require a governor's signature, but instead goes straight to the voters on the ballot. The bill was signed in the Senate, meaning the next step is to start the process to put it on the ballot, and that was February 5th of 2021. 4 days later, just 4 days, the governor, in his first real effort to extend an olive branch to the General Assembly, creates the Vaccine Task Force on February 9th. So, two things. Where were we with our vaccine rollout before this Vaccine Task Force was created? Meaning, where were we with the governor's unilateral plan? And where are we now that you, Representative Koziarski, probably didn't pronounce her name correctly, Rep. Tim O'Neill and Rep. Senator Haywood, the duly elected members of the General Assembly, where are we now that you are involved?
The timeline's interesting, and I don't think it's an accident that 4 days later the governor formed this task force in the run-up to the May 18th primary, and then later announced some rolling back of the restrictions. And I think it's fair to say we're likely to see more of that in the future if I was to speculate. And this follows a pattern. Over the course of the last year, as we've sought to represent the folks that have represented or that we represent, and try to insert their voice, our voice, in the COVID response, and sent numerous pieces of legislation to the governor to try to ensure that we have a balanced conversation to both protect public health, but to restore, reopen our economy, and to make data-informed decisions. What the governor's done each time has been to veto that legislation, but then after he vetoes the legislation, utilizing his own unilateral power to sort of take a step, a gradual step, but a step in our direction. So again, I don't think it was an accident. But what we heard, as you recall, when we were debating Senate Bill 2, this constitutional amendment to rein in the unilateral power of the governor to act during an emergency, what we heard on the floor is the governor's got to be able to react. The governor has to be able to act quickly. And if you involve the General Assembly and you involve a broader debate and a broader discussion, the governor's never going to be able to react in a timely manner and make the decisions that need to be made in an emergency. I think the work of the COVID task force over the last 2 months now has demonstrated that's, in fact, false, that we can work in a bipartisan manner. We can work in a collaborative manner. The General Assembly can have a seat at the table. We can make decisions in real time, and we can improve outcomes. Looking back to February 12th, when this task force was formed, as I mentioned earlier, Pennsylvania ranked 49th out of 50 states in terms of our first shot getting in the arms of Pennsylvanians. Today, we ranked 12th. If you're going to be technical about it, we're actually tied for 10th. We're number one in the 10 largest states of the union. On February 12th, our first dose administration rate was 89%. It then dropped a week later to 79%. It's now 99%. On 32.5% of Pennsylvanians have now received a first dose of vaccine. The national average is 32%. We have made dramatic progress. A lot of work to be done yet. And I'm sure there are folks who are listening that have experienced frustrations, may be aware of folks that have experienced frustrations, but we are making tremendous progress, and we've made that progress because we've brought more voice to the table, including dissenting voice to the table, people who disagree and are challenging assumptions, who are asking good questions, members of the task force who are taking feedback directly from providers, directly from our constituents, directly from members of the caucus, and improving the plan. We've updated a strategic plan. We improved an allocation model that's more transparent, that's more equitable, and we've absolutely improve the outcomes because of the bipartisan collaborative nature of the task force. So absolutely we can govern this way, and absolutely Senate Bill 2, in my view, voters will have this question on May 18th, will give us an opportunity in emergency for to have more voice at the table to improve outcomes and ensure we do not have a governor of any party acting with extraordinary unilateral power.
So do you have any updates that you can share on the deadlines for the vaccine phases, as well as any projections where you think we're going to be this summer?
Really good news on this front. And again, it I know for many folks, particularly through January, February, March, it was a very frustrating experience. And I still believe there are gaps in the system, particularly in rural areas of the state where folks still have challenges with respect to access to vaccine. And there's work to be done there. But with the increased supply, with the outstanding work that our provider network is doing, and with the implementation of the task force updated strategic plan, Pennsylvania is now positioned to dramatically accelerate our expansion of eligibility. So this week, all remaining 1B population, approximately 700,000 to 1 million Pennsylvanians, are now eligible. This is on top of our seniors and folks in 1A, where we're making tremendous progress. We are on track to have all of those folks scheduled for appointments in early April. On April the 12th, our 1C population will be eligible. It's about 1.3 to 1.7 million Pennsylvanians. And on April the 19th, universal eligibility for adults, all adults interested in vaccinations, about 800,000 remaining Pennsylvanians will be eligible. Based on where we are today with the projections, the great work our provider network is doing, with the implementation of our strategic plan, we are now on course for Pennsylvania to have enough vaccine to vaccinate 100% of Pennsylvania adults by the week of June 7th.
So everyone in Pennsylvania who wants a vaccine will be able to get a vaccine by the beginning of June.
That is correct. We'll be they will have the opportunity to receive at least one dose of vaccine based on the supply by early June. And we're working aggressively to ensure that we have a plan, that the provider network is appropriately aligned with the supply, and that we're filling in those gaps. I've suggested I do continue to be worried about some rural areas of the state where I've gotten some feedback from some of our colleagues where folks are still having to drive a significant distance to have access to vaccine. I think we still have some work to do in terms of our communication so folks are able to schedule, particularly our seniors, some of whom may have some challenge signing up online or being able to make the phone calls to schedule. So there's still work to be done. But the supply and the plan that's being implemented now puts us on track to have all Pennsylvanians who wish to be vaccinated to have one dose of vaccine by June 7th. And again, think where we've come from, where we were on February the 12th, when we were among the worst performing states in the union. I believe it is directly tied to having more voice at the table, dissenting voice at the table, bipartisan collaboration, and the direct involvement of the people's elected representatives in the General Assembly.
Senator Ament, thank you. That's great news. Our time is up, and I want to thank you for being my guest today and being a great colleague to work with. So, Senator Ryan Ament, we're grateful that you joined us today. Where can people find what you and the task force are doing?
Well, I certainly encourage folks, I try to be as transparent as I can with the work of the task force. So folks are certainly more than welcome to follow me on social media. For some of the sense, we're both pretty active when it comes to social media and trying to open up as many channels of communication as we can for folks because the feedback is so important to the work we're doing. Each and every day, I'm hearing from constituents as it relates to the vaccine rollout, and I'm able to take those ideas, that feedback directly to the governor or secretary of health. I don't always get what I want, but they have to sit and listen to me for an hour. But I encourage folks to visit me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all at Senator Amit. My website is www.senatoramit.com, and would certainly invite folks to stay in touch with me through any one of those platforms.
Wonderful. Well, thanks again for tuning in. I'm State Senator Kristen Phillips-Hill, and we'll talk to you again soon.